We are still old now, but we are seeing each other for the first time, and I would like to wish you all the best for 2017, and I think we all need it. As the portfolio committee, we are from oversight. We are as tired as you can imagine, but we started our meetings for this year. And as you may recall, that last year, the National Arts Council was here, but we couldn't take their presentation. And there are a few questions that we asked, and we are hoping that their presentation today is going to give us the information that we need as the portfolio committee. And just to say that our constitutional mandate as the portfolio committee is to oversee what the department is doing and what the entities are doing. And as the portfolio committee, we have been really disheartened by what is happening in the entities of the Department of Arts, Culture and Heritage. I am telling you, we are disheartened, and we were hoping that things would improve, and we're still working hard to assist the department to ensure that entities discharge what they are supposed to discharge. And you find entities where the board is fighting amongst themselves, or the board members are fighting with officials, employees of the entity, or employees are fighting amongst themselves. And you ask yourself, why are these people here in the first place? What are these people supposed to do? And as the portfolio committee, we've been asking the department, give us the module that you use for induction of board members of this entity. Because at the end of it, you are like, what is actually happening here? I mean, you visited a number of these entities, and I'm telling you, we are not finding any joy. It's disheartening. It cannot happen because 80% of the budget goes to entities. We can't find a situation of entities being in disarray, of entities doing what they want to do, of entities just destroying, because if they are destroying their image. They are destroying the image of the DAC. They are destroying the image of government. And we can't accept that. It's totally, totally unacceptable. So, and as the portfolio committee, from day one, when we sat and looked at the Department of Culture and Heritage, we decided that in these 5 years, we're going to sit on entities. That was our decision from day one. Why? Because 80% of the budget of that department goes to entities. So we really are disheartened, and the manner in which you behave in the entities, guys, please, can you please improve? Can you please look at your mandate and do the right thing all the time? Do what is right. This is what we are asking for. In fact, we are not asking. You are paid to do this. Nobody is asking anything, but you are all paid to do a job. And I think it's important for you to do that. I did refer you, I don't think NAC was here, but the department official, I did refer them one in our portfolio committee meeting. chapter 10 of the Constitution. Yakumbula Zivis. Were you here? What is chapter 10 of the Constitution saying? Honorable members, that's a serious problem. Chapter 10 of the Constitution, do you know what it says? Talking about public administration. CEO, chapter 10 of the Constitution.
I'm not sure about the detail there, but I do know that it talks about the government.
Okay. Let me read for you. Because this is very important. And anybody who is leading in any public institution should know this by heart. Basic values and principles govern public administration. I mean, you are in public administration, you should be known. You should be telling me what this is. Public administration must be governed by the democratic values and principles enshrined in the Constitution, including the following principles. A high standard of professional ethics must be promoted and maintained. Efficient, economic, and effective use of resources must be promoted. Public administration must be development-oriented. Services must be provided impartially, fairly, equitable, and without bias. People's needs must be responded to, and the public must be encouraged to participate in policy-making. Public administration must be accountable. Transparency must be fostered by providing the public with timely, accessible, and accurate information. Good human resource management and career development practices to maximize human potential must be cultivated. Public administration must be broadly representative of the South African people, with employment and personnel management practices based on ability, objectivity, fairness, and the need to redress the imbalances of the past to achieve broad representation. The Chapter 10 Law, or Section 1, Tetange, basic values and principles governing public administration. And, you know, this is something that should be guiding you in the work that you're doing, because you are in a public space, you're dealing with the public. And I'm surprised, really, that you're not sure what it is saying, because this is exactly what you should be doing. That was by a way of welcoming you to this. We have the agenda, honorable members, in front of us. And can we go straight to item number 6? And on item number 7, after we've received apologies. I'm proposing that, honorable members, so that we deal with our business after we have had the input from the department about NAC and from NAC itself. what I'm proposing. Is it fine, Honorable Members? Thank you very much. Can we have apologies?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Members. Good morning, everyone. We do have an apology from Honorable Tolady. She's not in the wheelchair. And we also have an apology from Dr. Makondo, who could not make it today. He had a mix-up in the schedule. And we also have an apology from Mamsila, she only arrived in the country yesterday. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Members, those are the apologies. Honorable Kholpo.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Rabotapi is, I think he's got a bereavement family and said might not make it for the next meeting.
Those are the apologies, Honorable Members. Can you accept them? Thank you. And seconded. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. We will now give an opportunity to the Department of Arts and Culture to give us a briefing, an overview on the National Arts Council. And after the briefing, we will give the National Arts Council and then we will ask questions. We usually encourage people when they give us a briefing. And when we go to visit these entities on oversight, we always encourage people to tell the truth. Nothing but the truth. So help them, God, to tell the truth. Because if you lie to committee, a committee is an extension of parliament. And the rules of parliament are in operation here. If you lie to parliament, there are consequences. And if you misinform us, we will perceive it as a lie. And we always, always caution people that sometimes we are like teachers. We ask something that we know. And you tell us something that's not true. We know that what you are telling us is not true. And sometimes when we suspect that you are not telling us the truth, cannot we are public representatives, all the people who are sitting here are public representatives. And the public tells us things that sometimes we wouldn't know. And when we ask from you, we already know. And it is advisable to tell the truth. Each committee here has a researcher. And if you tell us something, the researcher will go out and ask for information. And they will come and tell us as it is. And if you have told us something that is not true, then you'll be in trouble. So we always, as this committee, encourage people to tell it as it is. Because ours is a constitutional mandate. We said it from the onset. And we know it's to oversee. But it's not about us. This is what we told ourselves from the onset. That it's not about the committee. It's not about DAC. It's not about NAC. It can never be about all of the people who are in this room. But it is about the people that we are serving. If it becomes about any of us, there's something seriously wrong.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, colleagues. My presentation outline is going to be looking at the mandate, the performance, audit outcomes, the status of governance, legislative constraints, other matters, and of course, closure. Maybe beginning with the mandate of the National Arts Council. This is the council that was established in terms of the National Arts Council Act of 1997. And its mandate is to allocate public funds to artists, cultural institutions, non-governmental organizations, community-based organizations to promote the creation, teaching and dissemination of literature, oral history and storytelling, music, dance, theater, opera, design, visual arts and craft, which fully reflect the country's diversity. It also provides study bursaries in the fields of arts and culture to practitioners, administrators, and educators. In terms of the performance, as of 30 September 2016, the National Arts Council has achieved all its 2019 targets for the second quarter of the 2016-2017 financial year, which is 100% achievement. Now, this slide just talks about the three-performance overview, which then indicates that 2013-14 it was 76% achievement, 2014-15 87% achievement, 2015-16 100% achievement. And this is just a depiction of the three-year income and expenditure trends of the organization. And of course, we can see that there is also a deficit, which is explained in the following slide, which says the deficit is attributable to the accounting method that is applied by the National Arts Council, and due to the nature of the projects that are funded by the National Arts Council, the entity defrays the previous year's and current year expenses from the current year allocation, which results in And this slide depicts the three-year audit outcomes of the institution, where we can see that 2013-14 qualified audit opinion, but of course there is an improvement in both 2014-15 and 2015-16, which is clean on. Now, we have the government and the management team. The team is operating under the guidance of the Chief Executive Officer, who is assisted by a team of five managers who report directly to him. The NAC has also appointed a Chief Financial Officer to administer its financial affairs and the staff establishments of the organization, 34 employees. In terms of the council, the Minister appointed the Council of the National Arts Council on 22 December 2016. For the letters were sent to successful candidates, 8 out of 9 candidates accepted the appointment. One member from that going candidate indicated that he was available to serve on the new Council of the National Arts Council. Those were just the people who were appointed for continuity. The induction of the newly appointed Council of the National Arts Council is scheduled to take place in February. This is selected government structures and meetings held from 2014-15, 2015-2016, 2016-2017. It looks at the number of council members, the number of council meetings, the number of council committee meetings. I would want to get into the details of this. And the legislative constraints. The National Arts Council Act provides for a huge number of council members in the council subcommittees. This is threatening the ability of the National Arts Council to sustain its governance structure. You will recall that I remember that over and above the members that are appointed by the minister, but the provinces need to also submit provincial representatives. The Act states that the grant received from the Department of Arts and Culture must be divided into the ratio of 75:25 for both disbursement and administration respectively. So that's what the Act is envisaging, that more money should go to programming than to the operation or to administration. The above provision implies that more money, as I'm saying, is available for disbursement and very limited funding is provided for the day-to-day operations. Other issues that need to be noted is that the department has noted that
number of credits received by the National Arts Council from print media with regards to allegations of maladministration pertaining to funding of flagship projects, salary increments of the chief executive officer and chief financial officer. A formal response on the above allegations will be furnished as requested also by the portfolio committee. I would like to stop there.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members of the Portfolio Committee, the leadership of the DUC, and colleagues. My name is Rosemary Maope, and I'm the Chief Executive Officer. And we have Mr. Tumisani Dlamini, who is the Chief Financial Officer. Behind him is our manager, Specialist for Communications. And marketing, next to her is the board. Her name is Janet Mulekwa. Next to her is Marianne Makoka, who is the board secretary. Behind me is Judith Kufa, who is the arts administration manager. Next to her is the finance manager, Mr. Tatalo Mandiwana. And then we have in front of us, next to the DG, Ms. Jabu Dlamini. Ms. Jabu Dlamini is the ex-deputy chairperson of the outgoing council, but she's here also because Minister, by virtue of the Act, actually allows for all members of the provinces who are serving to serve in council. So she's here as a capacity, as the provincial representative of Mpumalanga. But what is important about her presence today is that she is privy to all the allegations that we'll be answering to. And I have to indicate also that Mr. Mpumela was willing to come and send his apologies, but he also called last night to let us know to indicate to you and the committee that he is willing and available, and we can actually call him any time should there be any kind of dispute or anything that he needs to shed light on. So he is available and on standby for today's committee. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, I think as the portfolio committee, we understand, our understanding is that there is no board present. Is that the case?
The council has actually been appointed from the 1st of January. Council members have actually been notified and they have accepted appointments. And in the DG's presentation, he did allude to the fact that 9 members were approached and 8 out of 9 have actually accepted their nominations, and only one has declined. And the only thing that has not happened is that there hasn't been an induction yet. The induction is actually set aside for the 24th and 23rd and 24th of February.
According to the PFMA, the board is the accounting of any institution, of any entity. So why the council is there but is still accounting? What's the situation? I hope you do understand what I'm saying. In the absence of a board, the CEO is the accounting officer and minister gives that mandate to the CEO. But if the council is there, then it is the accounting authority. So in this case, who is the accounting authority between you and the council that is there? Because you are saying now the council is there, but it has not been indicted. So in the situation now, as you speak, who is the authority?
As you correctly indicated, that when the board was dissolved, the chief executive officer was then in terms of section 49 of the Public Finance Management Act, became an accounting authority. Now, given the fact that the minister has appointed the council, now the council becomes an accounting authority. The only outstanding matter is the induction, but I think the authority already is with the council. So what it means is that the chief executive officer has gone back to her real position of being an accounting officer.
I think
think the absence of the incoming council is disrespectful, one to the state and to the public, whom they are accountable to. And I think we should not accept the apology of the chairperson, anyone else who might have said anything. And I think it's also disingenuous for the council not to be here on the strength of the fact that it's issues pertaining to a past council that we're dealing with. The council, the present council, should be up to date with whatever is happening, whether it's past, whether it's future, or it's present. And it would have been more prudent for them to have been present at this meeting so that they become appraised of all the issues, past, present, and future. So I think we still have a problem if what we're seeing here is anything to go by. So, you know, and the presentation is thin. We're not getting information. There's nothing to deal with or to work with. Thanks, John.
Sure, thank you. I think I should associate myself with my colleagues. Well, it's unfortunate that I was not present in the meeting that took place sometime last year. I think me and Ngo. But having gone to the documentation, there are sensitive matters that one is able to pick up in the documentation. And when you have, well, there's good and bad. The good is the performance with clean audits, which is beautiful, which is commended. But because of certain things that appear to be red flagged, it would be inappropriate that the committee deal with those matters without the presence of the board when the board is there. So we will be failing to carry our responsibility to an appropriate body. And we will be responsible. Having noted the transition and allowed ourselves to receive a report from an official who is accountable to the board and not from the board itself, because this should be the report of the board. The fact that matters happened during the previous board, should not be a problem that because it happened during the tenure of the previous board, therefore the current board is not responsible. The current board isn't responsible from the day on which they were appointed. The induction is a very important process, but an induction does not render a board unbought. I mean, that doesn't render it legal or illegal. Induction is there to empower members to understand their mandate, but it does not take away their responsibility. So perhaps the way to go, Chair, is that it would be inappropriate that we take the presentation when the owners of the presentations are not here. Because if the board is not here, they are going to disown this call. It just will not work. So perhaps the way to go is that we should get the board to come and do their presentation. In other words, the officials of NEC must pre-brief their board
And the board must be in a position to embrace whatever is presented to us before we accept it. But we can perhaps engage with the department on the matters that require them. I think that would be the fairest thing to do, otherwise we'll be ourselves breaking the law. It would be inappropriate that we get a presentation which is not sanctioned by the authority.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've noted the comments of the members, the honorable members of the committee. We depend on the guidance of the committee. If the committee has actually made that particular decision, that maybe this will have to be taken, the presentation will have to be taken by the board, we'll have to ensure that that happens.
Did you, as you were guiding the entity, did you think about this, that the board is the accounting authority and the board is there now? You know, because I think it's the first thing that came to mind when you were presenting, that the board is in place, because when they were here last time, the board was not. They had no board. The processes were still unfolding. But as you present that the board is in place, didn't you, NPDG, think about this when you knew that they were coming to present to the portfolio committee?
Thank you. Chairperson, let me say that maybe we might then have to establish when we say the board, because I would recall that the last time, I think the last time Heritage Council was presenting, there was just one chairperson, if I'm not mistaken, who then represented the board. Now, in this case, we do have a member of the board, Ms. Lamini is a member of the board who is, in terms of represent the province, but is a member of the NEC. So I don't know whether we yeah. Who call you member of the board?
No, I think that last remark must be struck off. Honestly, because I think in many ways it's disrespectful, to be honest, because it's a flimsy excuse. I hate to say it, but I think a much bigger issue, Chairperson, is the role of the department. The department doesn't seem to be in charge of what's going on in the sector. You know, it's the second meeting now that I'm hearing of where a public entity has been called in that is accountable to the department. And the department did not make sure that the board is here to account. The department is making a presentation on behalf of the board in this case, colluding in a disrespectful procedure to the state and to the public, and I think we need to now address the issue of the department and its role as oversight over these entities. It's becoming a serious problem. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Mugwana, this is what the committee is doing. I mean, from day one, as I said earlier. That from day one as the committee, this is what we said should happen. And I can assure you that the department is beginning to do that. It's beginning, to you, it may seem like they are nowhere, but I can assure you they have started to do that. Because initially, they didn't have a handle at all of the entity. now they are beginning to have the thumb on the pulse of the entities, but they are not there yet. They are just beginning to do that. This is why when an entity is going to present to the portfolio committee, we ask the department to give us an overview so that we know that the department knows what is happening in that particular entity. So I think I concur with what Honorable Mashang was saying, that let us get information, let us interrogate the presentation of the department and not receive the presentation of NAC, and I think our next meeting with the NAC should be at the end. So in oversight of me, because I believe that it really assists us that we go to this entity and listen to everybody in an entity, because we don't want to hear a one-sided story. We want to hear all the stories within entities. And I think, CPG, that from our visit to this entity, we have exposed you to the problem of entities, where I mean, you learn a lot from that. And I think in your induction, you must encourage council to do that. See what happened at the song? When a council comes in and it takes decisions, big decisions, without even seeing the staff member. I think in your induction, encourage council members to meet with the person that's making tea and hear from them, to meet everybody before they take any decision. Because if they take decisions and come, like it happened, come to listen to what the people are saying, Tinaki, we are about the people. We are about the public. You come back, listen. You have taken big decisions. All that you've taken big decisions. You come back, you hear what people, and you are like, what? Let's go back and change those decisions. So encourage any council that you are inducting to listen to the people first, to have an insight on what is happening in an institution before even sitting down and taking and discussing what should happen. Honorable members, let us interrogate the presentation by the department. Are there any questions? There is an area towards the end where you are saying the issues that were raised are going to be about the issues that were raised in your presentation at the end. Yeah. Can you elaborate on that? The committee is asking that you be excused when we...
May I beg your indulgence before we leave? I think I would be remiss to actually leave without saying the following. Your opening remarks, you know, particularly the issue about telling the truth and nothing but the truth, is actually motivating me to. I need to assure this committee that in terms of governance in the NEC, we are actually doing our best. The books are open for your inspection. And the nothing but the truth that will be told is actually supported by the facts that you will find. We're actually happy that you are deciding to come and do the oversight and to come and actually listen for yourself. And thank you for encouraging that our new council also does the same. I would like this committee to know, and you in particular, Chair, that, you know, when facts are presented, they are facts. And facts are supported in writing. And we're happy that we'll be given the privilege to still come and address your August House in terms of the issues that were raised in terms of maladministration and corruption. And it will be an excellent opportunity for us also to express ourselves and actually present the facts as they are. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Another board member, do you want to say anything on that? Another board member?
No, I was going to say, just to reassure you, ma'am, that we will definitely listen to the MAC. I think that opportunity is still going to come. And we will interrogate the issues as best as we can. But, you know, you can rest assured that we're not relying purely on information that we get from outside. This is the reason why we call the entity, you know, we're partners in this saga. The NAC, the department, and ourselves are partners, and we must make sure that this is the public service proper.
Thank you very much. We need to apply our mind when we advise the entity, because as it is now, this is fruitless expenditure, and it's going to affect that entity negative. You know, this is fruitless expenditure for them to come here and, truly speaking, looking at how they are constituted. We can't engage them because there is a council, and the council is the accounting authority. I think you need to apply your mind when you advise them. You need to interrogate. You need to ask questions so that at the end of the day, they do the right thing. They are banking on you, banking on your advice. And interrogate. Don't just take it at face value. Say it's okay, you can go, they won't even notice. Because some of these things are really important. We can't engage with a CEO of an institution while the accounting authority is there. So then apply your mind. Please. We don't find ourselves in this position because it's not good even for us to send them away. But who else are we going to meet here without the accounting authority? And the reason for this person from the council to be here is that she was here when all these things happened. DG, you need to advise them in a way that's going to ensure that we work within the framework of the law. And it's not good at all. It's not good. So we are encouraging you as a portfolio committee to do the right thing. Can you? Those areas that you said you're going to deal with later. I think the first one in that is the information that you gave the portfolio committee on the issue of the costs that you in, that were incurred during the assessment of the board, council, whatever, and the, those costs. You gave us the wrong information, did you? Can you talk on that?
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Maybe I think we need to clarify this, because when we were asked in terms of the amount of money that was incurred by the department, we looked at the department, the DAC, what it spent in terms of the assets. Advertisement, which was 69,000, the remuneration of the independent panel, the catering of that panel, the transportation costs that we incurred as we transported people who came for the interviews, induction, transportation and accommodation costs. So we spoke to those specific items that were paid for by the Department of Arts and Culture. Now, I think that the portfolio committee then also then asked the institution, the National Arts Council, in terms of what the National Arts Council incurred, the kind of cost that they incurred in terms of the work of the council. Now, what we were responding to, Chairperson, we were responding to what ourselves, the DAC, our books, we incurred. I think that there was that kind of maybe misunderstanding, because we were not accounting for the cost incurred by the National Arts Council. We were talking about the cost incurred by the Department of Arts and Culture. I do also understand where you're coming from, maybe Chairperson, to say, anyway, this is one vote. But we were not thinking along those lines. We're thinking along the lines of their department, what the department can account for in terms of the expenditure. So I think that that's where maybe they...
Can you take us through what actually happens when you advertise for a council? If there's going to be expenditure in the DAC, there's going to be the expenditure in the entity. Can you clarify this to us? What does the department spend on, and what does the entity spend on? Can you take us through?
Okay. Let me just maybe just say that in terms of the current arrangements, or in terms of the act, we need to advertise. Once we have advertised, that's the money that we will incur cost by actually advertising. And once we have advertised, we get the pool of all the nominations that we have received. Well, in terms of this particular act, we're supposed then to publish this to the public, so that the public is aware of the fact that the nominations are done, but also the people who have been nominated before then. And then we allow the public to comment. Once there has been comments by the public, it's then that we then assemble the panelists who will then interview all the people who have been nominated. And after that process, then the recommendations are made to the minister. So the costs, just in a nutshell, are for advertisement, are for, you know, ensuring that those people, well, of course, if we publish again, that also we incur costs. When we call people, members of the panel, to come and do the conduct interviews, they are transported, they are also catered for, and they are also given the stipends. So that's what we pay for. The induction process that we do, we pay for that. So those are the things that we pay for. My colleagues are going to sort of support me where I'm just missing. But then the institution. These people now have been inducted. They are now an accounting authority. They are operating within the institution. Now, what is the institution supposed to do? It needs to ensure that they are actually transported when they come to the meetings. It needs to ensure that there is an honorarium, because they are being given honorarium for attending meetings. So those are the costs that now are incurred by the institution who are no longer involved in now the meetings that are being arranged by the council members when they meet with the executive management of the. So we are no longer involved. But our role ends with the induction process. So our cost, what it is meant, all those things that have listed there, Chairperson.
What we were, our question, what we were asking for in that meeting was the cost of having money that was spent in having that unconstitutional board in place. Were we not asking that? I think that was the question that we were asking. How much has been spent with this unconstitutional board? That was our question. And Dr. Just.
Yes, Chair. The question was how much was spent on the appointment of that council. And as you can see, even with the responses from the different entities, the DAC and the NAC, that their response is basically talking to costs incurred by each entity. I mean, you look at the NAC cost breakdown that they've provided. Their take of that question was to say how much was incurred from their budget. They're not making any mention of the advertisements and all the other things. And as such, also as the department, we took that question to say that how much was incurred by the department. So I think that's where we have a misunderstanding, but the interpretation by the two entities is basically saying that it's cost incurred by the respective entities. That was the interpretation. And maybe that's where we got it wrong, Chair.
No, Chair, I think this is indicative of the lack of control that I was talking about earlier. Because if as a department you're giving an overview, you should have given us an overview, literally the collective information of how much was spent by both the department and the entity. That is your responsibility as the department. Because you seem to have separated yourself from the entity as if the entity exists separately from yourself. You are oversight. You are in charge of the accounting authority in that entity. So I think it would have been more prudent if you had given us a broader picture of what happened in that particular instance, so that we have a because you cannot rely on the information that they are giving us, because their information, you are the ones that are more responsible than they are. They account to you, you account to Parliament. And I think it would have been more prudent for you to be more holistic in the information that you are giving. Thanks.
Any other questions?
Well, I have a few questions that I'd like to raise,
unrelated to the matter.
The one is something that the Chair had raised in the beginning on her remarks when she spoke about the induction. I think it's an important matter. We would like, as a committee, to know as to who is doing your inductions with your entities, and do you have any modules that you're using, either whatever you're using to, or what is being used to for that induction. It's very crucial that we get to know DG, because we just find that there appear to be serious gaps. in the knowledge, abilities amongst your entity board members. The second question, earlier on when the introductions were conducted here of the team that left earlier on, there was a reference to the board secretary. Because these are entities of DEC, I would like to know as to where, from your understanding or your, as part of your induction, where do the company secretaries derive their mandates? Now, there is something that you have raised here, Tichi, when you made your presentation on page 6, which I'm trying to understand, but I'm unable to really put my finger on the pulse. You raised an issue of the deficit at NEC, and you said, due to the nature of the project that are funded, entity to defray their previous year and current year expenses from the current year allocation would result in a deficit. I would like to know what then happened to the previous year's allocation. Because one would assume that unless if those monies went back to treasury, you shouldn't have a deficit. If just explain this thing, because just raises questions that I don't understand. I also want to know who are the council members of NEC and a bit of their profiles, who are they and a bit of their profiles. You also have raised the issue that there is one member who declined. I'd like to know who is this person and what was the reason for declining. One would assume that these people, unless, who is the guy or the person who declined? Now, you made another statement here on page 25-25 split both for administration, I think it's page 10. Page 12. But you just gave us information over here and Leonard. You didn't say whether this is adhered to or whether this statement that you have made as bullet one, that the thing is huge, actually has an impact on your 75-25 speed. I think that's what you were trying to say, but you didn't say. So just explain that to us. Now, your last bullet, no, it's not a bullet, your last statement, you are raising a matter here. Where you say the department has noted a number of queries received by NEC from print media with regards to the allegations of maladministration pertaining to the funding, salary increments to the chief financial officer, chief executive officer and financial officer. A formal response on the above will be furnished as requested by the portfolio. When is it going to be furnished? Has it been furnished? No, I know that perhaps it's something that emerged from the last meeting, I assume, or it, because it was in the media, then there's a a requirement to be furnished. When is it going to be furnished? I don't know. I know that I'll just be asking a foolish question, but yeah. Because it's hanging. You know, one would assume that if Upalila would, it would be furnished. Why has it not been furnished? I mean, where is it? Chairs. I think these are the few questions I would like to raise.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mahlan, Honorable Chairperson, and members. I will respond to some of the questions that others, my colleagues are going to support me. The question that you've asked is whether we do have the template or the model that we're using for the induction, the module. I'm not sure whether I would say it's a module. That is there, but what I can say, Chairperson, is that we use the Constitution Act, you know, whenever we do the induction workshops, we use the Constitution Act. For instance, in case of the museums, we use the Cultural Institutions Act. In case of the National Arts Council, because it has got its own Constitution Act, of course, that's the first basis. When we are dealing with the National Heritage Council, there's a National Heritage Council Act. And of course, for the South African Heritage Resources Agency, SARA, we use the National Heritage Resources Council Act. Those are the fundamentals. And then from there, Chairperson, we also use the Public Finance Management Act, because that's an act that overrides all other acts when it comes to matters of administration, the issues of accountability, you know, and the issues of transparency as public entities. But also we do use governance, you know, content of governance that appears in the report, what the roles of boards should be, vis-a-vis the role of chief accounting officer, so that the board members are very clear what their role is in relation to the role that is actually being done by the management. So basically we deal with those issues of ethics and all those kinds of things are actually being covered in our induction reports. So basically that's what we and then you make reference to the company secretaries. Where do they derive their mandate? I think that they would also be, they would derive their mandates from, of course, the relevant legislative frameworks, you know, that establish those institutions. But also, in terms of what company secretaries are meant to do, you know, across the spectrum, because I think there are those expectations of what they are supposed to do. And then there is an issue of who are the council members. I think we'll make that available. We didn't bring the documents around, but I think it's something that we can make available before we even leave here, because I mean, those names are already. I would want my colleague maybe to assist me in terms of just reminding me the one who then declined in terms of who that person is and maybe the reasons for not actually taking up the challenge. But in terms of the issue that we have raised, Honorable Mahlan, on the 75, the ratio of 75 to 25, it's there in the legislation, right? The council, I mean the NAC, should spend money on disbursements and on the work, and then
25% of that then be for administration. But also the Act does make provision for deviation in case they are unable to. In this case, the ratio is 70. 70 is to 30. And they've actually asked for that deviation because I think that the pressure in terms of administration is actually causing them to then spend a bit more on administration than what is actually legislated. But there is a provision for that. Then the last point that you raised there, Chairperson, is there is a letter that was written by the committee to the minister. Of course, apart from the media queries that also were received, but there was a letter, a very formal letter, covering three main issues. The issue that we've discussed about maybe what the council says, we might have misled the council by the figures that we gave. But there was an issue also of the salaries of the CEO and, as well as the CFO. And the other matter was about the project called Lalena Project. So those are the three things that minister will have to respond to because the council, the committee wrote to the minister to respond to those issues. So it's the minister who's going to be responding. I think we've drafted the responses, which the minister will have to look at the merits of those responses before then he then reverts to the council, to the committee. I'm sorry. If you allow a chairperson, then the colleagues may just take other questions.
Honorable Chair and honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, I want to just respond also to the induction material that we use. One of the aspects that we use also the program of action, the medium-term strategic framework, so that they understand the priorities of government broadly, and also the priorities of the department. So we take them through, and also the planning process of government, and the requirements, and their roles and responsibilities. So those are the materials that we use. I think we can also share with the members of the portfolio committee those materials that we use. But we have not packaged them into a manual. But we have materials that we have used. I think we can then share with them. I think Mr. Ndima, the person who, Chair, the person who has declined is Mr. Mpumela, who was the previous chair. I think basically because he was no longer the chair, recommended chair by the panel, then he declined the offer because when the panel made its recommendation, then they recommended somebody else. So he declined and he did not take up the offer. I think the other question is that you can respond to that.
Yeah, just one more thing on the induction. Honorable Masangu, we have identified some shortcomings in our induction. I think we need to be upfront about that. And one of the things that it even came out in our CEOs forum, we have a forum structure where all the CEOs of institutions meet with the DAC and we deal with a whole range of strategic issues. We identify that shortcoming and then we were able to even receive funding from the private sector to do a more thorough research into our governance model, including the induction program that we can impart or provide to our board when they come on board. So there is that exercise that is being conducted so that we have a more structured module that is certified in some instances because we want it to get to that level of certification. So there is that exercise that is being done, and it's led by one of the entities that we provide funding to, which is BASA. So there is that exercise because we identify those kind of shortcomings in our induction. Then one of the questions around secretaries, where they derive their mandate, I think secretaries are accountable to the board. That is the arrangement. But administratively, because they have to be in the organization, they then administratively account to the institution itself, because they, someone has to keep tags on whether they're coming to work and all of those things. So administratively, so it's the same arrangement as the audit committee and the internal audit function kind of arrangement that we are using with the secretaries. The deficit that you also spoke about, Honorable Masango, is the way our accounting systems work. You see, the funds that we don't spend in the previous financial year, we don't treat them as income in the next financial year. We only focus on what is appropriated for that particular financial year. And the fact that we're not treating that as an income, basically then we look at our expenditures relative to what is appropriated. And some of the expenditure is we are spending on against the money that was, I don't know whether you get the point, is to say that in the year, for example, current year, if we are appropriated 1 million rand, but in the previous year we underspent about 50 million rand. So if that 50 million rand was carried over and accounted as an income, we would have an income of about 150 million rand. But the way we are accounting is only we focus on that particular year. That says that we only have 100 million rand. So it appears as if it's a deficit, whereas actually it's not a real deficit, so to speak. I think that's where the problem is. 7525, I think Mr. Ndima has spoken to it. The law, the act of the NEC prescribes that is the proportion in which the budget that is appropriated to the NEC should be spent. But then the Act also makes provision that if there is a need for a deviation, then that deviation needs to be requested from the minister. Which deviation they have requested from the minister, and they were granted that deviation for a period of 3 years.
When will we know when it's the real deficit? How will we know that, hey, this year is the real thing? Because the money that we spend is not a real deficit, because it's the money that we underspend. Like, when will we know? How can we identify when there is a real deficit to make our work for the committee?
Chair, Dr. Chiswell just said to me now just started confusing me, because I know I've been in the departments. If you have underspent the previous year, you have to apply for a rollover, and it's indicated as such on your budget. So if you are just going to spend what's left over, and then you will be seeing it as if you are incurring a saving, which is not a saving. So you need to indicate, you need to apply for a rollover, that rollover stands there, and then you utilize the rollover. Because a rollover is due to the fact that you haven't spent your budget, say, on infrastructure development and so on. So you have got to use that rollover for that particular thing. So what you are saying actually is not really correct. Chair, the only question that I just needed to ask, because I'm still trying, you see, when you are ill and come from holiday, you first got to get some of the things in. I just needed to ascertain whether I see the youth salary increases of the CEO and so on. So now I'm just wondering who decides on that. Does the board decide, or are there national benchmarks against which salaries are or CEOs are being pitched against, or does the board decide, okay, we're going to give this the CEO because you worked so hard, we're going to give him an increase. Then lastly, Chair, I stand corrected, but I don't think we really, I don't know, maybe I missed out, interrogated the council expenditure of November 2015 to August 2016. Because if you look at that expenditure breakdown, and there is I surmise that that's why that's the reason for this questions around the expenditure of the council.
Chair, I don't know whether I agree with the responses, but I think what Dr. Tiso was saying, if that's what is happening, perhaps the department will move in the right direction with regards to the induction. Because unless if there is a different regime that applies to your councils and boards, as it were, because I, as much as we appreciate that you have a responsibility, but you see, it is very dangerous. I did ask, so I was able to pick up from the response that actually you need any higher induction. If there is one thing, I hate outsourcing with my heart, but if there's one thing I would recommend that you outsource, is the induction. If there's one thing I would recommend, but not that I'm recommending, no, I'm just communicating my, actually something wrong that I'm saying, but it's fine. But all I'm saying is, if there is one thing that you would never possess, it's the ability to stay on course with regards to what the board needs to be taxed on. I'm raising this matter, not over Nyanyaza. You see, the chairperson of REMGRO, whatever they call this big company, is probably the richest man in the world, in the country, Urupet, makes a very expensive mistake 3 weeks ago when they released the King Four report. And he missed the point, I mean, of understanding what, especially with regards to the use of audit committees. He missed the point big time, and he's investing in stock exchanges. And you know the King III is an international guide that companies are using across the globe. So he missed the point, and I do feel for the poor board members where the chair of such a rich company misses the point. And for you who are occupied with departments, for you to conduct induction, so you can conduct induction with regards to law, your acts. But on governance matters, it's an area that I think you should get some external, or perhaps your buffer, as you were saying, to bring you that resource, because it's very crucial. Unless if my understanding of what you are supposed to be doing is actually flawed, because I may have a wrong understanding. But we had an opportunity recently with Mgwena to go through with the SABC. And we discussed, actually, I sometimes feel for Magufuli. and say, yeah, look, don't want to manage them to be like a kuruji. Umanga de sabo remko. This is the regard you know, man. But there are very important telling measures, both in law, in company law, for instance, and what have you had, because that's an overall act that deals, I assume, I'm not sure, I'm speaking under correction, where your act does not specifically deal with that the company act kicks in, and I don't know whether I'm right or wrong, but if it does, then I would prefer that you find other players to help you in that regard, so that your boards can actually stand on their feet and be board members in the true sense. Now, who did you, Ms. Willow, maybe the secretary, and who did you, come up to secretary, what was office? No. That person is a very important person in the board in terms of law. If your act does not speak specifically about the company secretary, the company's act does. And so does the King III. That's a very important person who does not derive his mandate or her mandate from the board. Unless if your act says so, if it does not, if it's a secretary of the board, then the company's act as well as the King report directs as to what secretaries are supposed to be doing. Actually, they are better placed if they are experienced to indict the board, because their mandate is very clarified as to how they should advise the board. That's why most of the board secretaries would either be lawyers or people who come from that field, because they have an important responsibility to the board. The board falters, you also hold the secretary responsible, because in the absence of the board, the person who sits there every time is the secretary, more than the CEO, for instance. So he's a very, very important person, as much as they're appointed by the board, but he's a very important person to guide and advise the board on any matter. I'm sure you are aware that it's only the portfolio committee that can pass that law, eh? You can think about it. But finally, it is the portfolio that makes that law. We make the law. So, the adherence to the 7525 is crucial and very important, because, and I think the department must apply their minds as to how they should try and maintain that thing without deviating from the dictates, because now they are breaking the law through some conduit that you find in the law to overcome or override that thing. And I think the makers of the law, when they made it, they were clear in their minds as to what they were wanting to achieve. Look what's happening in other entities. Some entities are spending more than 85% in administration and less than 15% on their core business. So if NEC were to go that route, we have no need for it. So I'm just saying, we have to go. On page 13. Why did you put this last bullet when it is not you who is responding, when it is the minister? Because in the manner in which you put it here, that's why I followed up Uguchi. Why you strategy is figure when you are supposed to be presenting it? Because, like I said, I wasn't in the last meeting, but in the manner in which it is crafted, a formal response on the matter will be furnished as requested. Now, in your explanation, if you had said the minister, we will respond on these matters because the committee has asked the minister to be fine. If you put it like this, and that's why I ask you, so why is it not part of this thing? But it's not me, it's the minister, but why did you put it here? It becomes a problem. I think, Chair, those are the things, and apologies for taking the time. But ubaba utichi for the last 9 days, indaba zakhe minyathela, sidiniwela ama SMS wenu, nama Twitter, nama email, every day, more than 6 of them as a song. Oh, she's not able to have a copy.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable Mkwan.
No, thanks, Chair. I've just noted that we didn't receive an apology from the Minister. Because I think it's important, because if the Minister was here, we would be dealing with those two issues that the DG alluded to. That's one. And then two, on page 10 of the presentation, on council, it says that 8 out of 9 candidates accepted their appointment. So I'm assuming that we've got 8 out of 9 council members. Is that correct? Yeah, the provincial. The thing is, the National Arts Council's Act specifies that there can't be any less than 9. So if we've got 8, we still don't have a council. Because it says no less than 9. So we need to be specific on that and correct that, because even the induction that you're planning is to an unconstitutional council, so to speak. So that's the one issue. And then I just wanted to understand this thing of one member from the outgoing council indicated that he's not available to serve in the new council. What was the process? Because are you reappointing the council, the previous council? And if that's the case, then there's a problem, because the National Arts Council's Act is very specific on how the councils must be elected. There must be an independent body that takes nominations. The interviews must be conducted in public, it says. The portfolio committee is sitting here and we don't even know that this thing happened. Those interviews should have been conducted in public. And I, you know, if they were conducted in public, we need to get details of that process. And then also Then I just wanted to address another side issue, which pertains to Section 6. Of the National Arts Councils, which I just read now, the Act, which gives provision for the council to establish any organization that it deems fit or necessary to serve a specific purpose within the arts. Now, some time ago, there was a discussion around the establishment of a body that regulates the arts, which has not been dealt with at all. We don't have a database, and one of the functions of the National Arts Council is to keep a database. It is the mandate. It says so in the Act. We need to keep a database of what happens in the arts. We don't know how many people are employed in this industry. We don't know if there's a growth, if we're losing people in the industry. We don't have any of that information, because it does not keep details on what is happening in that industry. And I think the National Arts Council would be the appropriate body to deal with that. It was suggested many years ago that we should have a database. Companies, whether it's in television, film, theatre, in galleries, we should keep a database. Every time they employ somebody or they exhibit somebody's work of art, we should keep a database of who these people are. And it will help us in many ways. It helps us want to regulate the industry, but we're also able to help the industry. Artists in this country today are not catered for by the banking system. They still consider them a tourist, so to speak. But if we had a basket base, we could be able to organize things like funeral plans, insurance plans, and so on and so forth. Because you now have a base, because actuaries and these insurance companies, that's what they work with. They work with numbers. How many people do you have? We don't have those numbers, so we're not able to protect artists because we don't have the data. And I think one of the key functions of the National Arts Council, as directed by the department, should be to maintain such a database. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The costs that were incurred with this new
that, okay, this is what the portfolio committee wants, this is how much we have spent, entity, how much have you spent to bring these two together. Otherwise, you give us a figure that is not even closer to what was spent when you do this. I hear what you are saying, that you gave us it. You are not, you can't. If we are talking $10, we are talking $10 and you, because $10 is your child, you know? You can't, if we are saying, give us information about $10, about the cost of, you can't say, this is what we spent. Because $10 gets money from you. So you need to give us the overall expenditure. So I don't understand your explanation that how you thought that you wanted the money that the department has spent. I don't understand your explanation. But can you respond to the issues that were raised by the honorable member?
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe let me just start by responding to the question that was raised by Honorable Mashan about, and maybe I'm kind of, I don't know how to use this, but it's chilling. That was the purpose of Honorable Mashan. I think one assumes that because the committee brought this, and of course they would have expected a response from the minister, they actually have articulated it better in the way I reported, but the idea was not at all removing the portfolio committee. Then there was an issue around raised by another Mugwenya about the process. The process was a transparent process where the advocate was publicly published so that people would, of course, be nominated. And in this case, Mugwenya recalled that there was a council that was already in existence, but because of the technicality that was missed by the department, then it had been dissolved.
I would also suggest, as you are doing now, to start from the onset that there was a council and this is what happened and it was dissolved, and if you start there, then to ask me that.
Okay, no, then Chair. Maybe just coming back to your question. There was a council which was then dissolved by the minister after, first and foremost, the minister acknowledged the fact that as a department they respect the committee. Because in terms of the law, once we have done the aspect and we have gathered all the information, what is then need to do in the spirit of transparency? You then publish to the public so that members of the public can then satisfy themselves with the nominee. And if they want to say something about the nominee, it's that's an opportunity for them. If they want to raise a concern, they want to say why they are interested in a nominee, then they have an opportunity to say, but we have a problem with this particular nominee because of what before, and it then helps the problem. But I think that's the step that we need as a department. So we advertised, there were nominations, and then we called for an independent panel to then do the shortlisting and recommendation, has missing that particular one step. And then there was a letter coming from a member of the public to the minister expressing the concern that the whole process was regular by the virtue of the fact that there was that step that was missed. But of course, in keeping with the law, we have to restart the process. I bet the minister then called the members of the board, explained that the board was dissolved between us. He started in, which is what we're talking about now. But an open process, but some of the members who served in the previous board, they got nominated, they got interviewed. But of course, in terms of the act, there is that principle of continuity, where the act is very clear to say when the board, when the new board comes in, or when the old board vacates, then it must ensure that at least there are three members that they recommend to ensure that there is continuity between the work of the previous board and the new board that's coming. So basically, that's what happened. Now, so in a nutshell, it wasn't an open process. There wasn't any arbitrary kind of actions or activities on the part of the ministry or the department.
The other issue that is in the act says the interviews must be conducted in public. Is that what happened?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
They were conducted in public.
Which part? Which part?
It happened in the Department of Arts and Culture.
So how does this happen? I want to understand how public it was.
What happened is, in the act, as the DG has indicated, you also publish the date of the interviews to the public, so that there will be interviews that will be conducted in the Department of Arts and Culture or in Parliament or whatever the place is on such and such a date from this time to this time, because this one happened over, I think, 3 days, or 3 days, yeah. And that was advertised, and that was then used at the department facilities to actually conduct those interviews. So that's how we actually approached it. So there was an advert. Even in the, go to the NAC website, you're probably still going to find it in other websites also. Thanks.
What did the advert actually say?
We can provide you the advert, Chair, because I don't want to mislead the committee again and say something and that is not as in the other. So can I request that you provide that to the committee?
Okay.
Thank you, thank you. So there was a question about whether there is a board. Yes, there is a board. Because you're talking about 8 members that were appointed by the minister, or 9, and then the one who didn't then take up the appointment, but also there's 3 members who are there for continuity. But there also, there are provincial members who are part of this. So there is a board. The question is just ensuring that there is an election that is conducted so that the board can start doing its work. Then I noted the Honourable Mwenda and the point that you have made about some of the potential work that can actually be done by the NAC. And I just think that it's one of the things that we can pick up with the new council, because it's true, it's a fact that when it comes to issues of funeral and insurance, that's where we are actually very weak. And I think that if we can actually come with some kind of a mechanism of ensuring that it's not just an expectation that every time there's a set occasion that this partner is kind of the one that, you know, people are going to be up to, it's better if the effect like on its own is able to be self-sufficient to a larger degree. and then maybe also coming to the issue of Mr. Nyatena, Honorable Mashan, we take the matter very seriously, the matter of Mr. Nyatena quite seriously. Of course, we do not have the mechanism of stopping one actions that we took up with the council was, and I think that there was a clear directive from the council to say, department, do something. And what happened is that in December, I think it was on the 14th, 15th December, I also wrote to the new public protector, indicating the plight that we have in terms of the relationships between ourselves and Mr. Nyakana. And of course, apprising the new public protector about our workings with Mr. Nyakana, and also requesting that if she can also take up this matter. Fortunately, on the 26th of January, which is this month, I did get a letter from the new public protector, where she is actually then asking basic questions, you know, that could then empower her to get involved in this. So we, in fact, today, I'm supposed to be responding to her, so that out of that response, I think it will then be up to her how then she assists in facilitating the discussion between ourselves and Mr. Nyakana. So we have not thrown our hand in the air, Honorable Masham. We're still trying to see what can actually be achieved, because, I mean, of course, there are so many issues that we seem not to be finding resolution. I mean, we have discussed this matter, we have reported here, other than the funding matters, but the issue of the backstage academy, which Mr. Yatela says that it must happen. And we're saying, yes, it must happen, but we must be scientific about it. First and foremost, let's have the feasibility. Let's not build and think thereafter. Let's rather think first, before then we can all say, yes, there's a need for the backstage academy.
How far are we with the feasibility study?
In fact, if my facts are correct, I think we appointed should have been this week, people who are going to be assisting us now in conducting that feasibility, which we're also going to be asking the sector to participate, because with our view is this should be a sector, a matter rather than a matter that belongs to an individual. So in the process of conducting research and interviews, we would like Mr. Nyakana to really be part of this, inform the process, so that whatever results that come out of this, at least his views have been also considered. So that's where we are, Chairperson. So we are really just trying to do, and I really just credit to him, because I think that, you know, the pressure that he put can partly explain, you know, the fact that we move faster in terms of ensuring that this kind of feasibility is done, so that we are able to come up with a comprehensive view. And also, if we do come up with an institution, it should be the institution that can stand the test of time, rather than an institution that we can build. We've seen institutions being built and just collapse because no thought was invested in those institutions. There was a question about who decides. I mean, I don't know what to do. Oh, it's the boards. It's the boards that actually decide, even when it comes to the issues of performance bonuses, it's the boards that actually take those decisions. And maybe just relating to this case in particular, Chairperson, the briefing that we've gotten from the CEO and the team is that the outgoing board, before it left, it had already actually determined the bonuses and the like. So theirs was an implementation. But I must say, Chairperson, that I think the fact that there will be a meeting with the board, I just think that it would also help us, you know, in getting to the details of that, because some of the members are still there. They might then just make their own collection in terms of the decisions that were made. But what we have been told is that before the board left, they had already made a determination of
think there are, as I say, give us the roadmap. What, or are you still going to look at this, discuss this, and give us the roadmap? Can you respond to that thing of the roadmap and tell us what you are going to do?
What we will do, because of course we'll be working in collaboration with the institutions, at the CEO's forum, we will then, you know, begin to deal with the questions that have been raised and begin to apply our minds collectively and even maybe come up with a template in terms of how the information must be fashioned or must be packaged, and also then begin to talk about the time frames. In terms of by when the information would have been given to us. And then we will then, a week after the CEO's forum, we request that the portfolio committee gives us just a week to then just do a report that we can then furnish the portfolio committee with.
And there are issues that I think we still to talk about. First of all, I want to say to you, department official, when we ask for information, these entities belong to you, and you have every right to get information from the entity. As I always say, you are the mother, they are your kids. You have every right. And as the portfolio committee, we have every right to get information from the entities. We don't need permission from anybody to get information from entities and from the public. I would advise you not to interfere with entities when we want information from the entities. Don't do that. Don't do that. And you know, if there's nothing wrong happening in entities, why would people fear when information is given to the portfolio committee? Or even don't know, but what would people be afraid of when we interact with people to get information from the entities? In the why? Don't interfere. Do your work, we will do ours. And yet now we do ours to the best of our ability. And I'm hoping that now you want to do your work to the best of your ability. On the issue of the letter to the minister, I think letters that go to the minister for administrative issues, they are on your desk. They go past your desk because you are the one who is the accounting officer of the department. And this letter, if that is the case, this letter that was asking for this information should have gone through your desk. And the minister would get the response from you to say, this is actually what is happening, minister. How far are you with that?
Honorable Chairperson, yes, you correctly right to say that everything comes to me. I think we're finalizing it because colleagues did, in fact, I've looked at two drafts. There are things that I was not happy with in terms of the responses, because in my view, the main question, the first question that is about us allegedly misleading the committee, it's within our control. But there is another two aspects, the questions that are about more the project, the Lalela project, and about the salary. So when
when I looked at the responses, for me it was, they were still not enough, because we needed to be very clear and to probe further questions, because we are now responding on behalf of the institution, so we need to be very careful in terms of how we couch our response. So that was the issue. But I think that the last draft that's going to be given to me now, I think I will be in a position to then send it to Minister. Who will then also have to apply his mind and also ask for evidence where maybe he feels like, no, you guys are saying this, but I want to see evidence. So I think that's because we are really taking the work of the committee seriously, but also, Chairperson, if already the committee is saying we are misleading, we have misled the committee, it's not a nice feeling on our part. So it even makes us to be even more cautious in terms of how we then respond and really think quite clearly, because as I've clearly indicated, when the question was posed to us, it was about the department, and we just look narrowly at the department rather than looking at the LAC. So those are the kinds of things that you would then don't want to fall into the same trap as you respond to the committee.
Okay, and I think, DG, the issue of, it would assist you, because we asked for information from NAC, we have the information. And when you get information from the NAC, ensure that you get all the information. Because we do have information in our files as we are sitting here that is telling us that, for instance, the NAC have adopted the DPSA framework and have been following it for the past 15 years. Based on the DPSA framework, two circulars are distributed annually and guide salary increases. And you come to us and say, no, they don't have to do it. Meanwhile, they have done it. You know? So I think you need to be clear, and you need to get the information as it is. Otherwise, if you give us a response, and we look at the responses that we have received, then we will say you have lied to us. You've lied to the committee. And if you lie to the committee, there are consequences. Because this is Parliament. So I think it's very important for you to get, this is why, Tina, when we get into an institution, we don't take sides, we are neutral. We listen to everybody. But I think, and that's why Nina as the department, you just listen to management and take it as it is. Because number is in the management, I will tell you what I want you to know. This is what we are avoiding getting as the portfolio committee. And Tosakiso and Tilabukhile, they have had the privilege of sitting in those forums and listen to what the people are saying. And then you are in a position then. And nobody, and when we say as the portfolio committee, nobody must be victimized for giving us information. Because as the portfolio committee, it is our right to get information from anybody. We have the right to subpoena anybody to come here and give us information. So don't victimize people for giving us information. The only thing that you need to do is do the right thing. Ha! It's as simple as that. Do the right thing. And when you give us answers, it's a matter of caution. That get all the information, get your facts right, because when you bring that information, Tinaka Loko, I've always said we are like teachers. We ask you what we know already, and you give us different information will be on you. So I feel like it's in the because you've given us the wrong information. There's no need to give us the wrong information. There's no need to cook information. Tell us as it is so that it can be resolved. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about NAC, but it's about the artists of this wonderful country of ours. So we are again pleading to you. Don't threaten people, don't victimize people, don't do all these things to people because they give us information. It's their right now. Officials, responsibility of other officials in the entity. Their responsibility is to ensure that the system of financial management, when we look at the accounting authority, other officials, they have to be transparent, economical, and ensure that financial resources are within the areas of responsibility. The younger language is back in the egg. So I think we need to begin to find the right way of doing things and to let our entities do the right thing. And as I was saying earlier, then you can be the lentil. No, I say yeah, the lentil. I'm buying all your school money. By 2019, you'll be there. And we are here to support you, to caution you, and to do all the things that are going to make people benefit from this very important department that should be at the center of society. Because everything that matters is in this department. As Ms. Ndo is, you know, it's like that. If this department is at the center, your morals, your all what we want will be in place if Tina, we operate in the right way as this department. Because it has to do with human, with the human part. You know, what's the routine, what's inside us, the department. And if it functions well, we will really see change in our society. So as you go to look at this response, ensure that you tell us the right thing. Ensure that your facts have a basis, because as the portfolio committee, when you come here next week, this is where we are going to start. So ensure that you know your story, because we're going to say now, you know, so it's those, so mama learning, mama learning, and then to tell it is the next presenting story. So catch 22 situation. Another question?
Just so that we put ourselves and the department under pressure. I would suggest that since you're going to have a CEO's forum, let us know when that CEO's forum is going to happen. And then, as you suggested, a week later, we then get a concrete report on what is the state of the entity. All of them. We get a concrete presentation of where the money is in terms of the finances, governance, all of them. I don't know if that was the whole point of the forum. But if that's, you know, if we're going to hold such a let's put ourselves under pressure so that we're then able to move forward together on how to be government going forward.
Thank you very much, honorable member. As I declare the meeting adjourned. Next week, we need to get information on all.